This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Saturday on The Pulse at 10 a.m. Eastern, Joita discusses recent immigration reforms for people with disabilities. She'll be speaking with Toronto Star immigration reporter Nicholas Kuhlman and Professor Jay Dolmich from the University of Waterloo. On Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Joita discusses the significance of the parasport movement and the challenges faced by athletes during the pandemic in the upcoming Paralympic Games with Laura Messiner of Western University. The Pulse this weekend here on AMI Audio, also available as a podcast. So check out The Pulse at your convenience. That way you can simply subscribe as you can so many other programs right here on AMI Audio. Kelly McDonald with Ramya Muthan.
Once a month, we like to ask one of our contributors a few questions, and they give us all the answers on Curious Minds with Christine Malik.
Whatever happened to... What does that mean? How does that work?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I never knew. I'm Christine Malik, and this is Curious Minds, a monthly dive into arts and culture from a blindness perspective.
Well, Christine, to be fair, it's usually you asking the questions and somebody giving you answers, but you know, we're all learning by extension. So today, speaking of learning, you're going to cover cross-cultural learning and how one blind woman is making connections happen across cultures. This is a really cool initiative.
Oh, Yang Wong is an Asian Canadian. She has lived, studied, and worked in three countries. She has a master's degree in economics. And 4 years ago, she started the East and West Learning Connections. And she's going to explain more about what it is. It's a lovely initiative. And she has unique perspectives on where disability and multiculturalism can inform each other. And she definitely believes that we do best when we focus on what we can learn from each other. So let's give a listen.
Yang, can you tell us about the East-West Learning Connections and how the idea came to you to start the group?
It's a federally registered not-for-profit organization. Our goal is to help people of different heritages break cultural barriers and get connected. And we do this by bringing in learning and communicating and volunteering opportunities for the public, especially for immigrant communities. I started this group more than 4 years ago as a grassroots culture group. At that time, my big boy just went to grade 9, and I asked around among some other Chinese parents whether they would like to join me and my son to learn about Canadian etiquette communication skills. Because I feel like as immigrants, we come from a very different culture, and we come here, we need to learn that. We need to learn the culture, the people, the customs here, so we can communicate with others in an acceptable way. And that way we can feel more at home here. And we can really contribute to diversity in a positive way.
You make a distinction between language and culture. So there are lots of ways, I think, where someone who is a new Canadian can learn language. But what was your goal around culture? Can you give me some examples of the gap in culture learning that you are trying to fill?
Language is a big barrier, but other than that, once you grasp the language, more or less, there are a lot of things you still don't know. Many immigrants feel difficult to have a conversation with their coworkers, because when their coworkers talk about maybe like maple leaves or some famous people, they just take for granted. But immigrants, they don't know the places, the people, the history. And also there are some communication, different communication way or different behavior. If you don't know the customs here, you will be regarded as rude. For example, in China, people say less thank you because they think it's all reciprocal, it's all mutual. So they'll do these things for others right away without thinking, and they think no need to say thank you. Actually, if you thank you all the time, especially to your friends or your families, people will think you're a little bit weird.
is so interesting.
Huh. Yeah. So when we came here, we say less, but then people will think you're rude. So we learn. I learn to say more of thank you. And once I get used to it, even now when I go back to China, I tend to say thank you more often.
You yourself are blind. Do you feel that being blind makes you more interested in making cultural connections? Is it a relevant part of what you're doing? Has it created any barriers for you in doing this work, or is it completely irrelevant to the work? How do you feel about that?
I would say it's irrelevant. However, as a blind person, I do find actually kind of advantage here, because I participate in our blind community here a lot. So a lot of blind organizations. So I have an enriched life here because I am blind. So,
right.
Yeah, it's so lucky for me to live in Toronto. We have so a strong blind community presence here. And I get to know a lot of great people. And there I learn more about Canadian culture and people through them. And also, yeah, and also I invite them. I invite some people to my group to be guest speakers, to share their life stories, their thoughts, their concerns. So we have this East and West dialogue events, monthly events. So I invite people from other cultural backgrounds to come over to share, have a dialogue with immigrants.
And so it is increasing diversity in the sense of the new Canadians that you're working with. They're getting a glimpse into another diverse group in Canada.
I think at that very individual level, when people get to know each other, their life, their concerns, they'll find out, like ultimately, we're the same. So we share a lot more things in common than difference.
I was on a call recently where I heard you speaking about what the Chinese community did in Canada to respond to the pandemic a year ago. And this kind of fits into the context of some of the very frightening anti-Asian racism that has manifested itself lately. And you spoke about things that the Chinese community in Canada was doing before the Canadian government in order to help keep Canadians safe. And that was completely new information to me. And I did not know why. I had not heard this before. So can you explain what was going on in the Chinese community in Canada around COVID a year ago?
Yes. I give you an example. I started a volunteer group at the end of January last year. So like when Wuhan
in
2020. So yes. At the end of January, I started this volunteer group. What we did was to promote self-quarantine for travelers coming back from China. We promote that, and we provided support for people to do that if they could not find families or friends to do grocery shopping for them. And the volunteers would do that for them. And also in that group, we exchange information, like how to find a well-equipped taxi driver to go to have an airport pickup, or where to find a room for self-quarantine. Because some people, they couldn't find their landlords, refused them to, you know, to stay. So where to find the room? And if you're in the room, how to do yourself, like DIY, like a quarantine room for yourself.
Right.
And all the medical latest updates, development. So it's very important for people to know. When they know, they will probably worry a little bit less. I mean, it's all very terrifying, but if you have more information, you'll get more prepared.
Yes.
So all this work, the volunteer group they did, and there are many such kind of volunteer groups across Canada, in Toronto, Hamilton, Vancouver, Montreal, Ottawa, a lot of these kind of volunteer groups. So actually, provincial data shows early cases in Canada was actually mostly travelers coming back from the U.S., European countries, not from China.
Right.
Because we did that very early. This early intervention really worked.
I wanted to take a moment to talk about your English conversation group, because I think this is a lovely idea. And because everything is virtual now, this is something that has a lot of scope to become very helpful. Can you describe your Wednesday night conversation group?
Every first and third Wednesday night from 7:30 to 8:30, we'll have this conversation. So we have native English-speaking volunteers as facilitators. And then we, based on how many volunteers we can get, we'll keep a rough ratio of 1-4, 1-5. And we open these opportunities to immigrant communities. So when people come together, they'll be in a breakout room, they'll talk to each other. So for participants, they practice their social conversation skills, but also both facilitators and participants, they can exchange, they can share their life experience, they can exchange thoughts on different topics.
Are you looking for native-speaking English volunteers?
Yes, absolutely, because we want to keep that ratio like 1-4 or 5, roughly. So if we can have more English-speaking volunteers, then we will be able to have more participants to take part in this program. And more people can get to know each other at this very individual level, share their life stories.
Oh, my heart is full. That is so beautiful. I'm going to make sure the information goes in the show notes as well. But what's the website where people can find you?
Oh, our website is www.eawlc.org. So EAWLC, again, stands for East and West Learning Connections.
That was a feature of Yang Wang speaking about the East and West Learning Connections with Christine Malik on Curious Minds.
What passion you can hear in her voice, right? The,
yes.
The making the connections, the being able to get people to communicate and that kind of thing. Wow. And that's such a great way to have conversations and be able to come in and share that with us.
Absolutely. And Christine's always featuring some really incredible things on Curious Minds with arts and culture and all of these different things. So we appreciate it once a month as well.
We'll take a break, folks. It's a Thursday, so that means the Kelly and Company Roundtable is up next with our guest, TV reporter from Toronto, Alex Smythe. Talk to you in a moment. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.